Welcome back to Great Stories About Great Saints, part of our Join the Family Pledge Drive on Relevant Radio.
24 minutes in front of the hour, we'll get back to our conversation with Brother Richard Merling about Solanus Casey. I'm looking at a photo that our graphics guy, Damien, just sent me of his grandparents with Solanus Casey. It's just very cool. And as we're telling this story, and this is one of my favorites, I love these stories about people who, you know, God calls them and they don't necessarily understand the calling. And it's not all just roses and sunshine. They go through real difficulty, yet they remain faithful. And we see that in the life of Solanus Casey. We saw that in Blessed John Jugan, as we talked earlier in the morning about her. These stories, I think, are so wonderfully inspiring. It's such a privilege to be able to bring them to you. I want to ask you to get to the phone this morning, 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123, also online at relevantradio.com. You've got a great opportunity here to support the work that Relevant Radio is doing and also support this approach to our pledge drive. So please do consider a gift right now, 877-291-0123. 0123, also online at relevantradio.com. And I'm talking with Brother Richard Merling. He's director of the Father Solanus Guild, which is collecting information about Father Solanus's life and work. You can go online to solanuscasey.org and find out more about it. And Brother, you mentioned this really just amazing turn of events as Father Solanus was made a simplex priest, so there were things he couldn't do, even sacraments that he couldn't confer. He wasn't able to hear people's confessions. And yet, as the doorkeeper there at the Capuchin Monastery in Detroit, thousands and thousands of people came to him. And as you said, essentially, he heard their confessions. He was faithful in terms of his obedience, and so it was more just, you know, a conversation, and he would send them to another priest for absolution. But such a beautiful thing that God ended up using him in an area where his superiors were saying, you know, we just don't see you being qualified for this.
Yes. Isn't that amazing?
That really is.
You know, and again, as you said earlier there, that he just let things, you know, be. He had that faith and trust. And he just turned things over to the Lord and simply said, you know, use me as you can then.
Mm.
And so the Lord certainly was able to use him and his complete surrendering of himself to the work of the Lord.
I know that, I mean, there are a lot of stories about Solanus Casey because, of course, there are people still alive who knew him. What, I mean, when people have talked about what he was like, what do they say? What kind of person was he?
Well, he was a person that was very kind, generous to people with his time to them. He would never cut people short or anything of that sort. He was always very willing to listen to people. And in fact, that whole thing of being patient with people was perhaps a bit of a drawback. On the other hand, where because he was so generous and just listening to folks, there were times when maybe he should be doing something else, or maybe it was time to do this or do that, you know. And but he would never cut people short. He would just listen to them and be patient with them. And many a times, then maybe he might be missing prayer or he might be missing supper because his duty was to listen to people and to take care of them. And he would be very patient with them.
Did that ever put him in conflict then with his superiors?
At times it did, yes. There were times when the superiors would reprimand him for being late and that he should, you know, try to be on time the next time. Sure.
Wow.
But, so he was just a very... accepting person of everybody and so many different situations of life. Mm-hmm. And he tried to help them out in the best way that he could. And here at the office of the monastery at St. Bonaventure's, there would be people waiting maybe for an hour's time to get to listen to him or to speak with him. And it was set up like a doctor's office to a certain extent. There were chairs around the walls of a big room, and he had his desk there, and people would take their turns and come up to him and tell him what their situation was in life and what they were there to pray for, this or that. And so he would listen to them very patiently and help them out in whatever way he could.
Mm.
And, of course, then the big thing is that certainly many people came there with various ailments, and many a times he was able to say to them, oh, don't worry, things are going to be all right, you know, and sometimes he would come up with a phrase to someone and say, well, tomorrow at 6 o'clock you're going to be okay, and sure enough, at 6 o'clock the next day they were fine, and you just never knew what was going to come forth from him as he spoke with the people. Each one was different, and there were times and situations to where maybe things weren't going to be quite the way that the people were hoping for, and there were times when he would have to tell an individual that maybe either they themselves or their loved one, that the Lord was calling them home.
Wow.
And but he was able to... He did it in such a way that people were always very accepting of whatever he had to say to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was just a tremendous listener.
Mm-hmm.
And in listening was a tremendous healer.
Mm-hmm. I'm talking with Brother Richard Merling. We're talking about the life of Solanus Casey. What an amazing life and just a beautiful example of obedience and patience. You can find out more about Solanus Casey at solanuscasey.org. We've also got a link to that from the Relevant Radio website. And while you're checking that out, you can go online to relevantradio.com and, consider a gift to Relevant Radio. 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123 or online at relevantradio.com. What a great opportunity here to honor the life of Solanus Casey. Reflect on what a beautiful gift that he is to us in his example and in his intercession. So I want to ask you to get to the phone this morning, 877-291-0123, and support Relevant Radio. Help us to meet that $1 million need. We'll continue that conversation with Brother Richard Merling as we talk about the life of the really remarkable life of Solanus Casey coming up next. As we ask you to join the family, that number again, 877-291-0123. You're listening to the Join the Family Pledge Drive. I'm so glad to be able to bring you the story of Solanus Casey, and very grateful to Brother Richard Merling for giving us so much of his time so generously this morning. We'll get back to that remarkable story coming up in just a couple of minutes. First, though, just a reminder to you that we are in day three of the Join the Family Pledge Drive. You've got a great opportunity here to help keep Relevant Radio on the air, to help meet that need of $1 million. So please consider a gift right now to support Relevant Radio, 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123 or online at relevantradio.com. All you need to do is make that call or go online and just donate whatever you feel is appropriate. And you'll help us to meet that need of $1 million that goes to our operating expenses. You'll help Relevant Radio to be able to continue to bring you great stories about great saints and so much other good information all year long. 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123. I'm talking with Brother Richard Merling. He is director of the Father Solanus Guild. And Brother, I wanted to ask you, now, you've been talking about Solanus Casey's life and ministry. How long was he there in the Capuchin community in Detroit?
Here in Detroit, he was here for 21 years.
Mm.
when he was first ordained, he was sent out to New York, and he was there at Sacred Heart Parish in Yonkers, and he spent the first 14 years there. And then he was moved on down to Manhattan, to the city. He was in the Lower East Side at Our Lady of Sorrows, and then he was there for 3 years, and then was up in the Harlem area for 3 years. And of course, that was where people really were noticing tremendous things happening with this man, you know, or centered around him. And so the superiors were very attentive to him. And then at one point then they said, well, why don't you, we'll have him transferred to Detroit and we'll keep a closer eye on him. Mm-hmm. And so then he was transferred here to Detroit back in 1924. And he was here until 1946, actually 45, I guess.
Mm.
And so it was during that time that he really, we became more aware of what was happening with him and how he was touching people's lives so deeply.
Mm. Now, did he pass away there in Detroit?
He did, yes. In 1945, they wanted to retire him. He was already well up into his 70s, and so they were going to retire him, and they moved him on out to New York again, to Brooklyn. And he was there at the parish for about 9 months, but the crowds of people started coming there, and they said, well, he's not going to get any retirement here.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, we'll retire him to Indiana, where at Huntington, where we had a house of philosophy there. And so they transferred him there, and he was there for 10 years. But it was kind of interesting because after he was moved there, then there were people found out where he was at, and they started having busloads come in from Detroit and Chicago and other places to see him. So he wasn't a person to be hid.
I guess not.
No.
Wow, that's really beautiful. Well, we've got a couple of minutes here, brother. I wanted to ask you if you could talk a little bit about the cause for his canonization, where things are at with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, back in 1995, he was declared venerable. And at that time, the church accepted the whole life story that we had given to them and all of the documentation and so forth. And very seriously looking at his life to see that he had lived a virtuous life to a heroic degree.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, then he was given the title of venerable. And basically, it is like saying that they are a saint at that point,
mm-hmm.
but they are asking then from that point on for a couple of miracles to be able to kind of clarify that or to verify it, rather. And when we have the first miracle to be accepted, then he will receive the title of blessed. And once he has been then accepted as blessed or declared blessed, Solanus, then they will look for another miraculous healing from that time on.
Mm-hmm.
And then once one is declared by the church as being miraculous, then he would get the title of saint.
Oh, that's wonderful. So you're just kind of waiting for news of those events to happen.
Yes, right. Yes.
Okay.
And of course, we get a lot of reports from people on a daily basis of wonderful things happening where people have really prayed to him and asked of his intercession for this or various situations in their lives, and wonderful things have come about.
Yes.
And but if we can get one where there's a very clear documentation of the fact that there was no intervention by medicine or anything else other than to say prayer for a healing of someone, then he would be acclaimed blessed. And then, as I say, then from that time on, then we'll look for another one.
Well, I'm sure sooner or later we're going to see that happen, brother.
Oh, yes, it will. It will.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. You've been so generous with your time, and you've told the story so beautifully this morning.
Okay. Well, thank you, Sean. I really appreciate this.